Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Tabletop Game Talk, a show where we talk about tabletop games of all types. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Kitty.
Today we'll be talking about gaming conventions. We'll talk about what they are and why you might want to go to one. But as always, first we go off topic for some news, announcements, and feedback.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time at GameHoleCon, as I advertised. Ooh. I failed to get you guys there.
This is true.
I'm going to work much harder at that next year. It was a good convention, which we will talk about when we get on topic. Yes. But it's just an announcement, so I figured I'd let you know. Otherwise, let's see, reviews and feedback. Nothing of any significance.
I met a listener in person. It was very exciting. Ran into Jimmy at the bar. And he is
Jimmy?
A guy I know.
But you didn't know he listened to
it. I didn't know he listened to it. I've been throwing it out there on Facebook and had no idea, because it doesn't tell you like who clicks on it.
Sure.
No. So he didn't like it or share it. But he did download and listen, which is the important part. So Jimmy. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Legend.
Josh, did you run into random listeners?
I didn't. I ran into the New Zealand All Blacks, who are the rugby team for the New Zealand.
Oh.
And they were playing Ireland. And believe it or not, Ireland beat New Zealand for the first time ever at Soldier Field, breaking the 111-year curse. What is it with this city?
Wait. So last week we talked about the Cubs and how they're going for the World Series. So now Josh did not jinx them.
They won. Very exciting news for Chicago. Yeah. The entire city just went like nuts for a week.
Yeah. There were fireworks.
Breaking the 108-year curse.
Woke me up.
Yeah. So, Kitty, you were mentioning there was a... What was the meme? Of course the Cubs won the World Series.
It's America's season finale.
So yeah, that's good.
Well, we're recording on Monday, so we don't know what happens tomorrow.
No, we have no idea. So we will not talk about the election in the next podcast.
No.
We will talk about other things that are far more exciting and consoling, hopefully.
Yes.
So I figure no matter what, everyone's a loser in this election. So I did get a new game. Actually two new games. Mm-hmm. But I picked them up in person. So I got Role Player, mm-hmm. which Kitty and I played yesterday. So we'll
just
talk
about like Yahtzee.
It is not just like Yahtzee.
Chris is dying inside.
Not like Yahtzee.
Saving that for this.
Yeah. The next game I got was the Pyramid Arcade from Looney Labs. 22 games in one box. I also played several of them with Andy Looney over the weekend.
Ooh.
So we'll be playing as many as we can between now and next week, because next week's topic is going to be all about this game.
But wait, hang on. You played Homeworlds with Andy Looney.
I did.
Which I believe is his favorite Looney Labs game.
Yes.
And there's even like a medal if you can beat him at like playing this game, right? Because you were like hyping this up, like I'm gonna play Andy Looney and I might beat him and get this medal. So like, what happened?
I didn't get a medal.
Oh, Chris.
But I have scheduled a rematch for the next convention. Again, bringing it right back. We're so on topic and off topic.
I have
scheduled a rematch, so we will play again and it will happen. Right. I've decided that now I just need to do hardcore training.
Okay.
So I'm just going to play Josh. I'm going to set aside 6 hours, play Josh a game.
Right.
And we're going to make this happen.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
I'm so
just
excited
take six
to not be
hours.
Involved in that.
I'm going to put Rocky music in the background. It's going to be a training
We need
montage.
A montage. Yeah.
So it's going to be awesome. But Homeworlds is just one of the 22 games in this box.
Before I forget, mm-hmm. can we circle back to this Yahtzee thing? Because you were cringing and Kitty was laughing. And I feel like there's a whole story behind this. So Kitty, can you
tell
me one of you? Let's go into Game of Today-ish.
Yeah, we're just going to go directly into Game of Today, which we're going to talk about. We'll talk about two games, but one that we've talked about quite often anyway, so we can skip over that one. But Josh was not here yesterday when we played Role Player.
That's true.
Role Player is a game where you are trying to roll up the best character. You don't actually play the character. You're just trying to roll up the best character.
Oh.
And you get points for it. So the way this works is you have your six stats, strength, dex, intelligence, all your basic Dungeons and Dragons stats.
Right.
And you're rolling six-sided dice.
Okay.
And each stat is going to get three of those dice. You're going to place them each turn. You're going to add a new die to one of those rows. And if you add a particular die to a particular stat, you also get to perform an action with it. So at most you could ever do is three of those stat actions because there's only three slots for each dice. At the beginning of each person's turn, or it's beginning of each turn, round, I guess, is a better way to say that, the active player is going to roll a number of dice equal to the number of players plus one, and they're going to put them on initiative cards in numeric order. And then you go around the table, and each person picks the die they want, and they're grabbing an initiative card. That die is then placed somewhere on their card. Then, at the end of everyone's placed their die and done their little action, they will buy equipment and skills and stats from the market. Based on the initiative. So I want a six, but it's the lowest initiative. Well, highest initiative. It's the last initiative. So I'm going to buy last from the market. But if I really want to buy first from the market, I might have to get a one or a two so I can get lower things.
Sure.
At the end of the game, you score. It's a point salad scoring based on how well you targeted, you got your attributes in the range for your particular character class.
Right.
Dice have colors, and where the colors are on the board will determine how well you matched your background. You have an alignment, and as you use skills and get traits, your alignment block will move around, and you wanted to have like a particular alignment.
Sure.
You get points for having dice of the color of your class. There's six different colors dice and plus a gold die. And there's one or two others. Oh, your traits.
You can get stars or victory points, basically, for having different traits. You can buy them. Either it's a straight up buy the points, or it's a, it changes the condition where, like, if you have stats, one of mine was if you have a stat under five, you get two stars.
You get two stars.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a point salad game at the end. It took us about, we had four players. It took us about an hour and a half. The box says 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It was pretty spot on as far
for
as
duration. First, for four first time players.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
Cool.
And most importantly, it was not anything like Yahtzee.
So why I think it is like Yahtzee is because at the beginning of your turn, you roll five dice. And each player has to pick and place a die on their board. So it is not like Yahtzee where you don't have to choose and re-roll. It's not it's not Yahtzee with a different theme. It is not. But it does have a Yahtzee-esque feel where you roll a bunch of dice, and it is important to choose where you place them, not just how you place the good ones, but what you're going to sacrifice your bad die in.
Yeah.
Right.
But once the dice are rolled and placed on your sheet, you're never going to roll them again.
Yeah.
So,
so it's somewhere in between Yahtzee and not at all like Yahtzee.
I would say closer to not at all yet. But also, we were only rolling five dice because we had four players. If you had two players, you'd only roll three dice.
Right.
Which might feel less
Yahtzee-esque. And the dice are very, they're just standard six-sided pipped dice.
Right.
Although I have been playing a lot of, on my phone, Yahtzee lately. So maybe that's just where my head's at. But it did feel like it with the, it's not just the rolling a bunch of dice, re-rolling, choosing to save. It's the strategy of where you put it felt a little Yahtzee-esque. Where, you know, like, I'm going to choose to take a zero here. Or I'm going to choose to not do this so that I can save this spot for a different better thing.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
I really liked it. I thought it was, it's a point salad game. So if you don't like having to think of a lot of different things, if you're trying to perfect your character and get every matching thing, it might be frustrating because that's not necessarily how point salad games play out. You have to choose a few places to concentrate in.
Yeah.
But I did like it quite a bit. And I'm a little bit excited because I heard rumors there's going to be an expansion that you can take the characters that you create and then play those characters in like a some kind of adventure or boss battle or something. So
a boss battle might be fun. An adventure might be
a little much.
A little much.
A boss battle
if you've,
would be cool.
If you've put in an hour and a half creating the character, then to spend that might become like a Risk, Twilight Imperium, one of those like really dedicate your day to this game.
But it would be kind of cool to have like maybe an extra 20 or 30 minute boss battle.
Yeah.
Where you take your character and now you're playing this character.
Your armor and weapons have a little bit more meaning, not just collecting stars, getting bonuses, kind of a...
That's a nice idea. I mean, I'm just excited about expansion because then the ribbing would continue of Kitty and Spencer saying it's like Yahtzee and you crying and
Spencer
dying
inside. Spencer had a really great description of this game where he said it combines the dice rolling of Yahtzee with the overly complicated rules of Dungeons & Dragons 3.5.
It's not overly complicated, but I have discovered Spencer hates point salad games.
He does. And he does not like... That is one of his...
It's not just rules, because I think I teased before that it's he doesn't like games with rules. It's not that. Right. It's games where there's so many different things that you can pay attention to that you can't pay attention to everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then it gets overwhelming and complicated.
Yes.
So I think that, like, Terra Mystica, he really doesn't like that game. He's like, it's so complicated. It's another point salad game.
Right.
He'll play point salad games, but only if there's, like, three or four tracks you can gain points on.
Right.
Mm. And if, like Settlers of Catan is a good victory point collecting game.
That's... victory point collecting is different than point salad, because victory point collecting, you're tracking points all along. Point salad is you don't know any points until you get to the very end. Like, you can have in your head ideas.
Okay. We'll discuss this in a further episode. We're going to have to delve into the victory point collecting versus... Point salad, and where you draw the line.
Yes.
I think it's just where it becomes too hard to count all at one time, which is where Spencer draws the line of, I don't want to play this game. Yeah. Right.
Well, like Scythe is a point salad game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you get to the end, you calculate points for this section, this section, this section, this section, this section. Mm-hmm. If there's just a single point track... It depends. There's a lot of...
You're talking about a point track where you're continually moving it as you play. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, but even those, some of those can be point salad games too, because you can add in at the end. But yeah, in general, I really liked it. It was a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Yahtzee.
So, but yeah, I've been so busy this week. I haven't really paid any attention. I paid a little bit of attention to Kickstarter. There's a couple things I almost kickstarted, so I just put those on my watch list. So we'll see.
Okay.
All right. I can't remember it, but it's a role playing game out there that's doing very, very well. And
you hear that, listeners? There's
Bluebeard's Bride. Bluebeard's Bride.
Oh, okay.
So, have you heard Kitty's giving me the face like she knows it?
So, Bluebeard is the story that when I was 4 years old, my 8-year old sister convinced my mom's friend who had no children, who was babysitting us, that was an okay bedtime story for a 4-year old.
Do you want to summarize that story?
Yeah.
So Bluebeard is a guy who is out for a wife. He marries a pretty young girl, takes him to his home, and is like, all right, here's our house. This is our nice, beautiful mansion. See this room? Don't go in it. See you later, and leaves. So, of course, the wife's like, oh, going about my business. You told me not to go in this room. Of course, that's the one room I want to go in. Goes into the room and finds, like, the dead bodies of his last 6 wives. And then he shows up and murders her, too, and keeps her in the room. Because everyone keeps going in the room.
Yeah. And that is basically how the story ends.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of variations to this story.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually, like, the husband and brother, or not the husband, the father and brother come and save the bride and some variations and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Not the bedtime story I got. Yeah. Just ended with the murder.
Actually, this particular game is based off of the original fairy tale that Kitty just told.
Right.
But you play as one of the wives. Mm. So you actually play, there's like several sisters and one of you is the bride or something. There's a interesting mechanic to it. But it's also based on the Power by Apocalypse, a world where it's a role-playing game, but it's very almost dice-free. They tried to make it so it's like almost diceless.
Right.
So the way that works is as you're telling the story, certain triggers will happen and then you can do something. It's like, oh, this happens, triggers this, and I do this move. Where a move can be like a story action or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to save yourself, basically, in the storyline. Mm. So anyway, it's doing really, really well. Nice. I heard about it on the podcast Phil and Senda's Talking Games, or Panda's Talking Games, mm-hmm. Which is a podcast I like to listen to. And they were interviewing the designer. So,
oh, nice.
It was a really cool game. So,
that actually, sounds good.
Yeah.
Aside from my childhood trauma, which actually is very strange because there's a movie about two sisters who it like cuts back and forth between modern day, the sisters reading the story, and then like a flashback of the telling of the story. And the sisters are named Anne and Catherine, which are me and my sister's name. But the ages are reversed. But it is a blonde sister and a brunette sister named Anne and Catherine. And my sister was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really weird.
Speaking of other podcasts, I did meet a bunch of podcast people this weekend.
Nice.
I met Brett and Sean from Gaming and BS. Hung out with them. They're great, great fun. Chris Nizak from Misdirected Mark and from Down with D&D. Phil is also from Misdirected Mark, and I did not meet Senda or Phil from Panda's Talking Games, right. But that was cool. I met Sean Merwin, who does a lot of writing for D&D Organized Play Adventures. Also does the podcast with the Down with D&D podcast. I talked about Andy Looney. He does a podcast called The Download.
Right.
So these are all podcasts that I listen to. Like, I listen to all the NPR stuff, but I also listen to these other gaming podcasts.
It must have been a cool moment. Like, oh, yeah, these guys, I listen to them every week.
And we all hang out. And it's cool because, so my name is a little bit unique in the Chris Steele thing. And I patron Gaming and BS. And every time Sean says my name, he says it, Chris Steele. And so everybody who listens to their podcast, if they're like, oh my God, you're Chris Steele. I'm like, yeah. you're supposed to say Chris Steele. So
nice.
Yeah. So now I also patron Misdirected Mark too. So now I'm in there. They have a Slack channel, which is kind of cool. When you get, you know, $4 a month and they bring you to Slack channel so you can talk with them and whatever. So anyway, that was my networking.
All right.
Wow. Fun.
Should we talk about our second game of the day?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
So we just played two more games of Pandemic Legacy.
Yay.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
We finally won a round.
Yep. We won second part of January.
Mm-hmm. And then promptly lost the first part of February.
Lost by one card. Had we had one more turn, we would have been all right.
If it had just been a little bit further down the deck.
So yeah. So we're going to continue to talk about every time we play Pandemic Legacy. We'll update you on our win-loss record. But when we're finished with it, we're going to do an episode that completely spoils the game. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to save our spoilers.
We're going to save the spoilers. So I will warn you if you haven't played it yet, and it's been out for over a year now. So go play it. Like, we're already behind the scenes or behind the times.
That's the one.
Yeah. But yeah, so once we get through all of it, we will tell. Now, it looks like we're going to be playing 24 games because win one, well, lose one, win one, lose one. But we did really, really good on the second one.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Like, we nailed that.
Yeah.
And we were really close on the third.
I'm not going to credit it entirely with my new obsessive playing on the iPad.
Oh, you did some serious research by playing that much. That was good.
It's just really easy to sit in front of the TV and...
And play Pandemic?
Then you lose really fast and go... I've just been hitting the random roll assignments every time, so...
Training.
Yeah, learning how to play all the different characters, strengths, weaknesses.
We need another montage.
I know.
We
need another montage.
Yeah, well, so. Chris and Josh have been training against each other. I just sit by myself with an iPad. That's actually pretty true.
You could probably play. Well, I tease Josh because he's very, like, really analyzes every move in Homeworld, which is why I want to train against you. Yes. It can make the games take a little bit longer. So while he's doing that, you and I can play a game of Pandemic together. and I'll just go back to the game every once in a while when I need to make a move. So it'll be good. All right, let's get on topic. Are we ready for on topic?
Let's do it. Yeah,
all right, here goes.
In this episode, we're talking about gaming conventions. Chris just got back from GameholeCon. This year, I went to my first Origins and Gen Con, and Kitty has never been to a gaming convention. Let's talk about what conventions are and why you might want to go to one or more.
Yeah. Or not.
Or
the naysayer. Straight in there before Chris could say anything.
I like it.
No.
It's good.
I'm not actually completely against it. But we'll talk about that.
No, I think it's... We couldn't actually start there because I think perceptions of what a game convention is interesting.
Yeah.
And Kitty has been to conventions before.
Yes. I'm a big reader. I go to book conventions. Yeah, nice. Is my thing.
Yep.
So I still have my nerd cred.
Yeah. So they're a little different than gaming conventions. I'm actually going. So I just got back from GameholeCon, which is a pure gaming convention. I would estimate probably around 15 to 1700 people were there. It was always something going on. It looked really well attended. There was lots of special guests. It was a really great convention. Lots of board games, lots of role playing games. Nice. And oftentimes, most gaming conventions that are not video game conventions are board games, role-playing games that are kind of split. So that's my experience with just this weekend. Next weekend, I'm going to a science fiction convention, which is not like a Star Trek convention. I've been to those as well, which is more Star Wars, Star Trek, like movie and TV media. The science fiction conventions I go to are actually where Sydney grew up with, which are science fiction literature. So fantasy and science fiction literature.
Nice.
There's panels, there's authors, and things like that. So that's probably closer to the type of conventions that Kitty's used to.
Yes, very much. So where you do book signings, you do panels, discussions, roundtable kind of stuff. But not a lot of playing. But a lot of conventions, what I've noticed, seems to be buying things, or at least that's me and Chris at conventions, like, and picking up free stuff. Free
swag.
Stuff is so much fun.
Yeah,
I love it. I have so many tote bags.
So, Kitty, and don't get me wrong, Kitty's been around lots of people that go to conventions, so she's heard lots of them being talked about. In your mind, what is a gaming convention to you?
A gaming convention. All right, this is going to get me in trouble. I shouldn't be discussing this, but what it seems to be is new games announced. You have a chance to play new games, try out stuff that you haven't bought, play kind of like role-playing games with pre-rolled characters for you, ready to go. And then it seems to be a lot of staying up all night playing like the three kinds of games that I don't really have that much interest in playing.
Which are?
Like werewolf, social deduction, like all social deduction games, basically. Okay. And not showering and not sleeping for 3 days.
All right.
Getting a hotel room and then not spending any time in it.
All right, Josh, you've gone to your first conventions this year, both I because I dragged you to them.
I very willingly, I was more than happy to come,
And in honesty, how close is Kitty's description?
It's fairly close. It's fairly close. No. I mean, in a good way, though. I mean, there's so much to do, especially at the ones we went to, like Gen Con
and Origins. Let's preface this with the Gen Con and Origins. If you don't know what they are, Gen Con is the largest gaming convention in the world. Yep. As far as conventions. Now, it's possible that Essen has more people.
Right.
But Essen is more of almost like an open to the public trade show. Yep. So they just debut tons and tons of games.
Right.
Gen Con's a full-on convention. So last year, they had close to 70,000 people. This year, they had high 60,000, close to 70,000 people. Yep. All in Indianapolis.
Yep.
It is a mega convention.
Yeah.
It is massive.
It was crazy.
Yes. We went to Origins first, which happens at the beginning of the summer. That one's in Columbus, Ohio. That one's it's small on the big convention scale. It was only like about 12 to 15,000 people. So keep that in mind. GameholeCon had 1,500 people is the one I just came back. And that is more common in your typical conventions are going to be closer to that size.
Right.
So, yes. Lots of stuff to go. Continue.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it felt like such a spectacle. You know, there's just hordes and hordes of people, you know, filling the halls and so many games to choose from. You could, like, whatever type of game you're into, there's something for you. And there always seems to be open games, always seems to be events going on. I really enjoyed the whole staying up and playing social deduction games because I really like them. So that was great for me. And you really get to bond with people that way. If you do like those games, then it's the kind of game where you can get to know people very quickly and kind of break down those barriers very quickly. And so you can really like make some cool friends in a very short period of time through that medium, which I thought was a really, really cool experience. And I loved it. But in a way, I had this great sort of Origins experience with getting to know people and getting into some games I hadn't played, you know, played my first Dungeons and Dragons, etc. And then I feel like Gen Con had a different feel because it was just such a spectacle. You know, like big name people in the game world doing these big glitzy events, and so much happening that it was almost dizzying. I mean, you know, I suffer from analysis paralysis, so I had that problem, but it was really cool as well.
So yeah, Gen Con is just crazy big. Crazy big.
Yeah.
And Kitty, you're not that wrong. Everything you described, you can do. Like you
that
can,
seems to be what the people I know who go to conventions do.
So I like to think of conventions. When I went to them in high school, that's what we did. Stayed up for as long as we possibly could. Mm-hmm. Showers be damned. You know, it didn't really matter. You just pushed your way through the entire time. Today, I go to conventions a little differently. Even 5 years ago, I would do the staying up all night playing Werewolf. Now, 2 o'clock a.m., I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep because I want to enjoy tomorrow.
2 a.m., a.k.a. 6 hours past Kitty's bedtime.
But you can go to sleep early. So there's daytime events, there's morning events. There are things you can do during the day. Now, a lot of the time, like when I, you know, 5 years ago, I would just go and play Werewolf. That's what I went to these conventions for.
Yeah.
So my con schedule was 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go to sleep and maybe hit the dealer's hall in the afternoon and spend too much money there. But nowadays, I'm like, okay, 2 a.m., going to sleep. I mean, I'll wake up, you know, 9 or 10 and, you know, get to the dealer's hall early, check that out, play some other games, go to the open, like the board gaming section. Usually the conventions will have like little signs saying players wanted or teachers wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you can do that don't involve not showering and staying up all night long.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the 3-2-1 rule. So,
okay.
Or is it 4-2-1? 5-2-1? Maybe. 5 hours of sleep,
he's just
two meals, one shower every day.
Okay.
So that's like a con rule. Like take a shower. We don't want to be sitting at tables with smelly people.
Yeah.
Eat. You don't want to be like, because it's really easy to forget to eat when you're just playing games all day long.
True.
And get some sleep, because we all get a little bit cranky when we haven't got sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you follow those rules, you should be okay.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So that's the recommended thing. Normally conventions run from like, well, they're definitely Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sometimes they start on Thursday. Gen Con starts on Thursday. Origin starts on Wednesday. The smaller cons are usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But they don't have to be this nerdy boy, stay up all night.
I'm willing to give one a try. You get to pick one. Tell me when I'm going. Give me a 6-week heads up.
She says so reluctantly.
I know.
No. Origins.
Yeah, Origins is a good one.
Origins is the best convention to go to as your first convention because it is a manageable size, but it's still big enough to be like really that convention.
It feels like a real convention. Yeah.
I agree.
With some like book conventions I've been to where like, you know, there's my dad is actually a librarian. Don't know if I've talked about that before. But he writes reviews for young adult books. So we're actually tied into the Romantic Times, or RT, convention, which is a romance novel convention, which also has young adult lumped into it for some reason. That is a huge, huge, huge convention.
Romance and young adult.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really get it, but I mean, like a lot of young adult also focuses on romance, let's face it, but you know, true. They're kind of hand in hand.
We just go from PG-13 X.
So my dad actually is part of the new adult is a new kind of genre where it's like so like young adult is kind of like high school age kids where it's like 14 to 18 is the protagonist and they do you know, high school aged activities. And then there's like adult books are like, you know, graduated from college, have a career. So new adult kind of covers that in between like college age, just starting a career. Like they're more adult than a young adult book. They're usually more explicit.
Yeah.
But still kind of have a haven't figured life out, still finding my path kind of a theme to them.
So, and it's interesting because that brings up a good point. Like conventions have...
Oh, but I was talking about size of conventions. Yeah, that's a huge convention. Yes. That's a huge one. I couldn't tell you, but it's a 6-day convention. It starts Tuesday.
And that one has a lot of authors, right?
Like tons of authors, tons of publishers. They'll do different things where if you want to be a published author, you can go and meet with publishers there. You can go to all different kinds of panels. They have panels that are just for librarians, panels that are just for authors, panels that are for readers, panels for aspiring authors, everything. It's broken down a lot, and you can find a lot of niche stuff. You can be a young adult person and go to young adult panels morning to afternoon, or you can be like hardcore BDSM and find something to do.
Those ones are the all night for
the
convention.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So it's, and you can find anything to, we played book cover bingo. You can do whatever you want to do there, as into it or as not into it as you want to be.
But that's a good point, because that's how I felt about the gaming conventions, you know, mm-hmm. to go almost against what you were saying about them before, is that you can almost have your kind of convention. There is so much happening.
There's so much going on. Exactly. You can find your niche. If you're going to a little convention, though, if you get there and realize this wasn't your kind of convention, you're stuck with these people feeling uncomfortable a little bit.
Yeah. So the convention I'm going to this coming weekend is called WIDDICON, and it's about 1,000 people. It's in Lombard, Illinois, and it is a science fiction convention. Uh-huh. But we still have all the panels. Origins, Gen Cons have panels. I think panels are one of the most common things. I think all conventions
I think that's really the core part of a convention.
Yep, so wait, describe this to me, because did I go to a panel? Was that Dice Tower thing a panel?
Dice Tower, that's an example of one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now that one was a little bit more...
Ritzy,
yeah, because Dice Tower... So we went to the Dice Tower live podcast, which is really, it's, you know, four guys sitting on the stage talking, but it's very much a spectacle. There's over 1,000 people in the audience, which is usually not how the panels work. Right. Usually a panel is anywhere from 2 to 5 people sitting at a table and a very small room that doesn't sit more than maybe 40 people, like almost like a classroom, that sit in the room, and then you like discuss different things. And the audience is very audience participation oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's usually a lot of question and answer at the end.
Yeah. Nice.
I'd say they go from like the 40 room to like the bigger ones have like the 120 seat room.
Yeah.
And that's a big panel.
Yeah. When you get to that size, it's more kind of like a lecture type of thing. You'll still have usually questions and answers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But think of it like a panel's kind of like a classroom with a number of teachers at the front.
Right. There's usually a moderator who has prepared questions, who kind of leads the discussion with the authors, gamers, developers.
Yeah. We were going to go to a few panels, Josh and I, but it always turned out that they were either too early or conflicted with something else. So the panels are usually the first thing that fall off if there's some other event.
It's true.
Yeah. So, but I like going to panels. It is awkward though. Kitty's right. If you're the only person sitting in a panel, and I've been that person, where you walk in and there's like 3 people on the panel and 2 people in the audience, and then you just kind of look at each other. It's like, maybe just let's go get a beer at the bar and chat like, in a circle.
Yeah, right? Can we just get a table?
So, and sometimes that happens too.
Sure.
Do you know what's the best though? Asking the question, and then the person on the panel says, "That's a really good question." Feels so good. I love it.
Yeah. So if you're ever on a panel, just remember, that's a really good question.
You'll make someone's day.
Yeah.
So another thing I really like is the whole trying out games and realizing, oh, so-and-so would love this game. And it's almost like, oh, I could buy this as a gift for someone. You know, that's the great thing about it. It's kind of like you see, oh, I could maybe convince this other person that's not doesn't really that into games to get involved in this kind of gateway game. It was great to kind of just try so many different things out and then just kind of discover some gems.
Yeah. So
I could also put out there that like maybe I'd be more into gaming conventions if I didn't have Chris in my life, who just introduces me to new games constantly.
Yeah.
Every time I come here. Convention. Yeah, you're a one-man walking like trade show. Like, check out this game. Let me tell you about the rules. Like, every time I'm here, there's something new to play with.
Yeah.
So
it's my fault.
Yeah, it's all Chris's fault. I feel like I don't have to go out of my way to find these things. Whereas if you're not someone who it has access to a lot of game stores, we're in a big city where we can go not just to one good game store, we can go to several really good game stores. We got Dice Dojo, Cat and Mouse, trying to think of a few off the top of my head.
Those are about the main ones.
Those are the really good ones. Elysium in Evanston is good.
Yep.
But yeah, like we've got a lot of options around here. If you were in a smaller town and you have to travel to a convention and that's where you get to see the fun new games and explore stuff for like your year, half a year, whatever period of time, then maybe that would be more appealing to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get you to a convention anyway.
Okay.
Just because you should go and it's fun. I think what Josh was kind of alluding to is so there's dealer halls at the bigger conventions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's dealer halls at almost every convention, but the smaller ones don't have the same feel as what I'm about to describe.
Right.
In Origins and Gen Con, as you walk through the dealer hall, there are tons of people out to demo their game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just, you know, spend 10, 15 minutes learning how to play a game and then walk on and move on. And that's where Josh is like, you can try out so many things. And if you like something, you're like, okay, I want to own this. I want to buy this.
Right.
Which Chris
normally always does because he's a shopaholic when it comes to games.
It's not only that. It's
not
like
just
if I'm talking to the designers and if the designers are teaching me how to play a game, I feel bad walking away not buying it because it's like me saying, oh, I didn't like your game.
Oh my gosh. You are so much like my father. I cannot tell you how many weird books he ends up with because he's like, the author was just so nice and she's sitting at her table by herself and I felt so bad.
See, I think that's okay because your dad only spent like $8 on the book. Chris spent like $70 on the game.
You should see the box of books he comes home. Really? He had to ship books home from the last one because they did not all fit in his luggage.
Yeah. And I don't it even read books. I listened to them. But yeah, I do have a problem, which is why I try to avoid demos and I'll watch other people play.
Right.
And if I'm really interested, like, okay, this is a game I want.
Oh, maybe this will be a good partnership for us because I'm really good at saying, oh, that was very nice. Thank you. And walking away. I'll just drag you with me. And
grabbing the back of, well, I don't have any hair, but.
You have a collar. That'll work.
T-shirt, whatever.
Yep. Oh, thank you so much. We're going, Chris.
We don't want this. I guess we don't want this. I'll be back later.
Yeah.
So.
Sydney will be glad if I do that.
Yeah, she will.
Yep. So, Origins, we're going to this. This is June 14th through 18th, 2017. You have 31 weeks, 1 day, 6 hours, 2 minutes, and 3 seconds.
I saw you calculating over there. I was wondering what was up.
I don't need to. There's a countdown timer right here on the website.
Oh, wow.
Anyone who's not been to a gaming convention is anywhere near Columbus, Ohio. You should absolutely go to this convention. Columbus, Ohio is a really cool place, especially this time of year. It's spring. It's nice weather. There's tons of cool food places to eat around there. It's inexpensive.
Yeah.
I mean, inexpensive is you're spending about $100 to $120 a night for a hotel. Sure. And then you're spending, I think, around $70 for the convention pass.
But in the modern age, you can also do Airbnb as well.
You can also do Airbnb.
I don't do that.
I've never done it either. But
I have done it, actually. It's not bad.
Josh is an
expert.
Depends
on the Airbnb you end up at.
Yeah, you've got to do your
homework.
Some
of the places
are... Check the reviews.
Yeah.
Look at the photos. Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to count the number. I don't even know if I can remember how many conventions I've been to this year.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention...
This year, what about ever?
Ever,
that would be
I
a ballpark,
do.
But surely a ballpark. Come on, give us a ballpark.
Ever? I guess total, I average probably 3 or 4 a year over the last 8 years. So,
right.
You know, that's, I don't know, I can't do math, but in the mid-30s.
Yeah.
3 is 24. 4 would be 32.
So, you know, somewhere between 24 and 32 in the last 5 or 6 years.
At least one of us can math.
Yeah. Hey, I only have a minor in math. I don't have to do it on demand. This year, though, I kind of bumped it up a little bit. And now with Sydney and she's doing her science fiction conventions, that's even more. And one of the things, like her big convention is Worldcon. Worldcon is closer to like origin size of people. So you're like, you know, a little over 10,000, 10 to 15,000. This year's Worldcon, or next year's actually, this year's was in Kansas City. Next year's will be in Helsinki, Finland.
Right.
So we may end up going to that.
Nice.
Or we might go on a honeymoon. We haven't quite narrowed that down yet.
Sure.
But either one could be fun. But let's see. So if I go backwards, I've gotten the Worldcon in Kansas City. There is Capricorn, which is another Chicago science fiction convention, Gamehole Con, Gen Con Origins, Winter Fantasy, Chupacabra Con, which was in Texas. Winter Fantasy is in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I know I'm missing some. That's like seven right now, right? I think there was a couple more this year that I ended up going to. So it was, I had a lot of vacation to burn.
Right.
So, and they only, you only take like 2 days vacation to go on them. So I'm like,
oh, yeah.
All right, sure. We'll go on another one. Go on this one. Go
constant
on that one.
Constant 3 day weeks.
Yeah.
Great.
So there was a lot of those. But I, the small conventions, oh, Grand Con, which is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Okay. That was a really small gaming convention. But yeah. I met Tom Vassell there.
Oh.
Which is why I'm like, okay, we have to go to Grand Con. It's like a 3.5-4 hour drive from us.
Sure.
And we played Sheriff of Nottingham with Tom Vassell, right, who is the guy gaming or the Dice Tower founder. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun. But that convention was tiny.
Right.
Like it was essentially took place in a hotel lobby. Oh, a hotel wow. lobby in like one of their meeting rooms. Like That's it
crazy.
Was
wow.
it was really little. But it was cool because all of the people, not all the people, several people from the Dice Tower were there. So we got to just hang out and drink with these guys.
Right.
You know, so it's like, all right, there's not a lot to do here, but I will hang out.
Oh, I'm not sure if I put that in my description of gaming conventions. That seems to be a major activity is just drinking. That might not just be
it's
unfair to limit yeah, that to gaming conventions because yeah. I think that's all conventions.
I'll say the bigger conventions, like Origin Gen Con, we barely drink at all. Maybe a couple beers with dinner.
I think it depends on your style of yeah. going to the convention. It certainly can be a yeah. big party event yeah. if you want it to be, it seems like.
Because yeah. you really don't want to be hungover when you're trying to like build up that stamina.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. At Gamehole Con, we had a drinking event on Saturday night. And Sunday, I was definitely hungover. I had a few too many on Saturday. But that was kind of the exception. And going into Sunday, it's like, okay, there's not a lot that goes on mm-hmm. Sunday anyway.
Right.
But typically, it's not really a get-wasted kind of thing.
I think it can be and it can't be, just like you were saying before. Mm-hmm. I think it's up to you, you know, what kind of convention you're going to have. But there's mm-hmm. something for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's kind of a few different styles of going to conventions. You can go and be the person who is going to get everything out of the convention. You're going to yeah. go to your panels. You're going to see the people you want to see. You're yeah. going to get the things you want to have. And they're like very like type A. And they have like their schedule of events. They have like the app on their phone that they're
right.
following yep. the schedule. Then there's a like more like, oh, I'm just going to go hang out, see what's going on. Where that's are the cool totally people going?
Yep.
Yeah. And then there's the like, I'm here to hang out with like-minded individuals and just party and hang out and have fun and do what I want to do, hanging out with people who like the same things I like. And that can be like the big partying
sure.
kind of crazy weekends.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, mm-hmm. because a lot of conventions, most conventions, will have ticketed events.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they're paid ticketed or not, they're still like, oh, I want to sign up for this. I want a ticket for this. I want a ticket for this. And you plan the entire 3 or 4 days. You know, mm-hmm. every place you're going to be.
Yeah.
I hate doing that.
Yeah.
I did it for Gamehole Con because there were two special events that were
right.
games were being run by special guests. So those were my two things.
Like right.
I'm mm-hmm. going for that. I was also ran a game, so I had to do, oh, we should talk about that. Ran a game, so I had to be somewhere for that. But usually when I go to conventions, I just want to roam.
Yeah.
I don't want to really sign up for anything. I want to have options available, but I don't want to have commitments.
And you don't, well, it's hard because you kind of want to strike that balance, which is kind of what you said, where if you do that too much and you roam too much, you can get into what I did, which was like, oh my God, there's so much to choose from. I don't even know what to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of waste time just kind of wandering around, not yeah. doing a lot. And so I think there's a happy medium where you do pick a few things,
yep.
but you don't nail yourself down too tight. But it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to be the person who says, like, this is my schedule and we are all going to follow it. Yeah. That's not fun. Well,
and if you have some holes in the schedule, so maybe you go and play a game at noon. So you're playing from noon to four. And you meet some cool people and like, oh, we're going out to dinner afterwards. Want to come out and hang out? You know, that's how you kind of build relationships.
Yeah.
You met Alyssa, right?
Yeah.
At Origins. And you, that was just from playing a game.
Right.
You know, I don't even, was that a werewolf game or is
that? Yeah, werewolf.
Yeah. So you're just playing werewolf. And suddenly.
Whatever.
But we end up
I'm going to get voted out of the podcast.
I'll get you there. Yeah. But we ended up hanging out with her for a good period of like the entire weekend.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, we've exchanged information. And, and the next time we go to the convention, it's like a family reunion every year.
Right. And you met your buddy that you had met years past there again that time, and you were kind of reminiscing about, oh, I remember that first time we met.
Yeah.
That was cool.
So it really is kind of like a family reunion every time you go to these things. It's, you know, these, your cousins that you only see, but you, it's like you just talked to them yesterday.
Right.
You know, and you don't know really almost anything about their personal lives.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where you could game with people for years and years and years, and you almost forget that they're a real person outside of the game. So it's actually really cool when you build those bonds, when you start talking about, you know, oh, you know, what do you do when you're not at a convention or not gaming? And then you actually become real friends and, you know, that works out pretty well. In fact, I met Sydney at a game convention. Now, this convention was very small. It was like 40 people.
Right.
It was in someone's house, but it was like through New Year's week, essentially. And she happened to be there and I happened to be there. We didn't know each other.
Right.
And we just started talking and one thing led to another. And well, now we're getting married.
That's amazing.
You know, so that's the kind of thing that can happen at these conventions. But I will say, all right, so sometimes you go to conventions to play games or enjoy the panels or whatever. Sometimes you go to the conventions to run games or be on panels.
Just like you did. And game I've done
that. Yep. So I want to get this on the other side because I've done that fairly often too. I will preface this with, I do not want to ever be behind the scenes of a convention that I enjoy going to. Because as soon as you are, it becomes a political thing. It becomes a task. You stop being able to enjoy what the convention is. And you're just worrying about what the convention, like the politics behind it. Which can take away some of the enjoyment. I've been on that side for quite some time for other things or completely unrelated, but...
So what, but I'm confused now. What is the politics that you speak of behind the scenes that can be difficult to deal with?
I don't know if it has anything to do with my experience organizing events. Just a lot of like, who's doing what, nitpicking details. There's like a hierarchy of like, if you get to do this, it's a like, oh, big deal. Or like, oh, I snubbed this person by not asking them to do this. And like, so my thing is, if I was going to be behind the scenes of a convention, I would only want to be like a huge name where I'm like the star that they bring in to be like, oh, I'm going to be a special guest on a panel. And then I walk in my limo and then walk back out. I wouldn't want to be no, part of the actual like planning team putting it together. It's like a second job.
Right.
Yeah.
With a lot of inter-office politics that can get very swampy.
Okay. Yeah, and if you imagine, like, if you're working, so you've been an actor.
Yeah.
So you know when you're in the play, you're not really enjoying the story of the play, right? No. It's work. It's behind the scenes. You're putting it on for other people to enjoy. And those people are enjoying it, but in a completely different way than you are. It's not that you're not enjoying what you're doing. It's just you're
not enjoying it.
Yeah. You're not enjoying it for the play itself. It's a different thing for you. So that's kind of the same thing with the running of the conventions is, anyone who's worked in retail, it's like, I love going to Best Buy. It doesn't mean I want to work at Best Buy.
Right.
You know, and I don't go to Best Buy anymore, but that's an example. But I do occasionally like to be on a panel or run a game, which is kind of more like the limo thing where it's like, okay, you're the center of attention for a little while, but you're going to enjoy it. So this, for Gamehole Con, I ran a game, which was a Savage Worlds game, which is a role-playing system. And I wanted to make it something a little bit special for con games because con games are, as what Kitty mentioned early on, is when you play a role playing game, oftentimes it's with pre-made characters. You don't know how to, you don't have to know how to play the game. In fact, if you ever want to play a role playing game for the first time, such as what Josh did, go to a convention because they assume that most of the tables never played before.
Right.
You're just trying it out. Mm-hmm. There are exceptions. There are some tables, organized play and stuff, where you're expected to know how to play. But even then, you could sit down and not know how to play, and it'd be fine.
Yeah.
So I was creating characters for this, and I had this great idea in mind. What I was going to do is the characters were going to wake up with amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
And as they played through the story, they would get flashbacks to what happened the night before.
Sure.
Kind of, and people like this, like the Hangover D&D, a little bit. I had to create, I wasn't making pre-made full characters.
Yeah.
I was making snippets of characters. And to make my job a little bit trickier, these weren't characters cut up into pieces. It wasn't like, you're playing the paladin, so you're going to keep getting paladin memories. No. They were completely unrelated. Right. So you started out, you picked a race.
Yeah.
You went in, there was one room that had a bunch of weapons. You could grab any weapon you want, and suddenly that's the weapon that your character uses. So then you got a slip says, these are the skills you know, this is how you know that you got. Armor, same thing. There were flashbacks, you walked into a certain room, and the characters themselves, each of them intertwined with each other, but they didn't know, and they were slowly getting that revealed back in the story. And then finally at the end, you find out like one character, he knows he's evil. Okay. He knew he was evil from the beginning because he never lost his memory. Right. So he got a really big explanation. It's like, you're the evil character. You've taken away all of these characters' memories and you're trying to figure out which one of them has this item that you want.
Right.
So as they're getting their memories back, the evil character's trying to like get people to talk about, so what do you remember? I remember doing this. And at the very end, the character that did know where the item was convinced that the evil character was the person that should have it. So he gave it to him, which caused a final, like, climactic player versus player. So one half of the table fighting the other half of the table battle at the end.
Right.
I had not planned out any of the adventure.
Right.
Like, I knew how it started, but that was it. And I just winged the whole thing as we went on. And everyone had a great time. Like, people were like, good. This is a great way to learn Savage Worlds. Oh, my God. This was, like, a really cool experience.
Yeah.
One of the guys that was like relatively quiet at the table didn't seem like he was having a lot of fun. He was like constantly kind of looking around confused.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the session, he's like, you know, I wasn't really sure where you're going with that, but it actually turned out okay.
High praise.
I'm like, all right. He tracked me down the next night and said, hey, I wanted to talk to you about your game. Because the more I think about it, the more I realize how much I really liked it. And this is going to be the game I talk about, like, going forward.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's so sweet. Like, that's the nicest praise anyone can give you. So I don't like spending all my time running games, but it makes it worthwhile when somebody, like, really has a great time when you're running it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of the other side of conventions. Like, I have to run a game, but I get to run a game once I'm there. So...
It's work, but it's worthwhile work.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of fun. So I recommend everyone go to a convention.
I recommend
everyone sleep at least 5 hours a night. Everyone take a shower. Everyone eat at least 2 meals.
I recommend three.
Three meals are better.
Maybe four.
Yeah. But
small meals. But they say like 5 small meals a day is best for you.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I like really big.
Yeah, for the long term. Meals. But at conventions... If you can get 2, it's okay. But 2 actual meals, like go out for those meals. Get a sandwich, sit down someplace. You can snack all day long, but Doritos and Mountain Dew is not really a meal.
No.
No. Not how many, doesn't matter how
not
many.
Not a lot of protein in that.
No. Add some beef jerky and you have all 3 of the food groups.
What? I didn't know that cheese powder was a food group.
Some game convention people believe it is.
Yes. I'm just saying it should be. That kind of thing. Anyway, anything else you guys would like to add about gaming conventions?
People should go. I had a great time.
All right.
I'll try it.
She doesn't sound convinced.
She's going to go.
We're going to make her.
Yeah. June 14th through 17th. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. 14th through 18th.
All 10 of our listeners out there, if you want to see me make a sour face for 3 days, come join us.
Okay, I have 31 weeks, 1 day, 5 hours, 45 minutes, and 32 seconds to prepare for my next Origins game. And maybe we'll do a panel. And we can do a tabletop game talk panel. at Origins.
Remember that panel you were talking about where there are only two people in the room?
That's going to be ours.
Oh, boy.
It's all about how you write it up in the book. So it's very common for podcasts that have panels and half the audience have no idea that it's actually a podcast. So for us, it'll be, you know, 95% of the audience.
It's fine. We'll wing it.
It's all good.
We're great at that.
Yes. Extremely good.
All we know how to do. All right. I think that's about time. I will say, Kitty, Josh, I know we mentioned the new logo last week. It wasn't until this week that I actually updated the iTunes image.
So
now it's updated on iTunes, which changed the background colors of our podcast. So it's like generated from the image, but now we have like this dark with a light blue text where now we I'll before we had light blue text out. And a dark or light blue background and dark text. So that's been updated. Yeah, so that's about it. Josh, why don't you take us out of here?
Indeedio. Well, thanks for listening. And remember, we always want your feedback. So email us with comments or questions at tabletalkgametalk@gmail.com. You can reach us directly on Twitter. I'm at Josh's Blonde. Chris is at Game Master Chris. And Kitty is at Kittenel. Of course, you can always leave a post on our Facebook page, Google Plus group, or our BoardGameGeek.com pages. And as always, we'd like to thank Tristan Dunman for our cover art. She can be reached on Twitter at Tristan Dunman. Until next week, when we talk about Looney Labs Pyramid Arcade, keep playing games and having fun.
Good night.